With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
She's a writer, director, and actor who's worked on Funny or Die, Comedy Central, and Jimmy Kimmel. It's Courtney Davis.
Yay! I'm so excited.
We can feel
it. Bursting. Yes.
You're bursting.
Right through the Zoom.
Wow. Well, thank you for being here. How's your summer?
Oh my gosh.
You have a five-year-old, so frenetic probably.
Yeah, I'm like hanging by a thread, honestly, all the time. It's been fine. We went to Texas for 2 weeks. That was interesting.
Wow. What's in Texas? I've never been to Texas.
A whole bunch of family that I hadn't seen since before COVID. So like my dad and mom separate, different houses with different spouses. Houses. Yeah. A house divided. And my little sister, my older brother, all kinds of folks.
Are those like, I never think of like family vacations like, oh, I can't wait to get away. You know what I mean? And like just be with my family for like a week.
Well,
in some ways that's not relaxing.
No, it's because I have a kid. And so when I go to my mom's house, I sleep until like 11 o'clock every day and she gets up with my kid and that's the best.
Oh, so that is relaxing. That makes sense.
You got to get like a kid.
You got to get one.
I should get a kid.
So then you can be sleep deprived. And then you really appreciate when
and you
sleep
appreciate
in.
It. Mm-hmm. And then also your mom probably loves it.
Mom has, I mean, I think she's tired by the end of the visit.
Big deal.
Big deal, mom.
Yeah.
Grow up. You're only in your 70s. Yeah. But she has a good time.
She grew up.
Yeah. That's good.
Are you a big fan of Disney animated films in general?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Remember the first one you saw?
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't know. I mean, I would have been so little. I probably saw all those old ones, like the
Dumbo and Bambi. A re-release.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they took it out of the
when
vault.
I saw Bambi, I may have mentioned this before. I went to see Bambi, I was like 5, and we came home and the cat had died.
Oh god.
That's perfect. That's a Pixar movie. Going to see Bambi and returning home to a dead cat.
Yeah, it was the cat went next door to die. She went to the neighbor's.
Cats like to go away.
They like to go away. But then I remember, this is sad. I remember like the guy you call the humane, for animal control. He just like held her by her back legs as he took her to the car. I remember walking behind him to that. I was like, no, that's wrong. It's just, you can't do that. After we just seen Bambi's mother die.
Yeah, that's like
this
holding
is a
up
day.
Like a, oh God.
That was a day for 5-year-old me.
That was a real hat on a hat situation.
They found me like smoking a cigarette in the patio at the end of
what
the
does
day.
Anything matter anymore?
Yeah.
Oh my
life
God.
Means nothing.
Holy moly. You know what I remember watching, which is a little weird in now these times, is that this is like pre-VCR. My dad had a like an 8mm projector.
Oh wow.
And you could get well, divorced dad, he's gotta like spice it up.
He's gotta have gadgets for the ladies.
Like, I don't know, here, do this. So he had the, like, you could get little clips of movies, I guess. Yeah. Like before, it's so weird. So we'd sit around and watch like 8 minutes of Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. But there was, we had some of the Brer Rabbit cartoons.
Oh, that's right.
Song of the South. Wow. Yeah. And I
loved
it. He still
has it. That's gotta be worth something.
You
he
loved
still
it.
Has it. And I loved it. And later I had to reckon with that and be like, I have to do some thinking about that.
You didn't make it. It's all right.
I didn't make it. I just laughed and laughed.
Sure. Wow, that's probably like a collector's item.
Well, it's somewhere in his attic.
It's some, or some, feels it. Like a snuff
some
film
Texas
now,
basement
right.
somewhere, yeah.
That feels appropriate. There's probably a lot of snuff things in Texas basements, things that shouldn't see the light of day.
Wait, he has snuff things? Is that what
you're saying?
How dare you?
Listen, I'll get him on the phone right now.
Bob?
Zoom. Mike's dad's name is Bob.
Oh, such That's a classic fun. Dad name, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. He, my dad gets this magazine. it's like, speaking of but snuff. It's called The Fish Sniffer.
Okay.
Which I always thought, is this, I've asked him, is this pornography? But it's about fishing and like the local fishing lakes and like what's going on with licenses and here's a new.
And
it's like not, it's like printed on newsprint, but he gets it like once, it comes like once a month. It's called The Fish Sniffer.
Wow. A different time. It was an innocent
time. He's an
time.
Outdoorsman.
It's happening now.
It's happening
when they named it. Now, now the focus group would be like, we have some notes.
It's been grandfathered in.
Right. It's like, it's our brand. We can't do this.
Well, you know, speaking of fish sniffers, today we're talking about.
Wow. Amazing. Nice.
Prince
That's
Eric.
One of your best. That's truly one
Thank
of your best.
You. I didn't even plan that.
That I don't believe.
I did not. I never plan. You know me, I don't plan for anything. Today, we're talking about the Disney animated classic, maybe, probably, we'll see.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid. John, what's the deal with The Little Mermaid?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Little Mermaid. It was written and directed by Ron Clements and John Musker, with music by Alan Menken and lyrics by Howard Ashman. And it was the start of the era known as the Disney Renaissance. It was based on the Danish fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen. It tells the story of a mermaid princess named Ariel who falls in love with a human prince named Eric and dreams of becoming human so she can be with him. So she makes a deal with the sea witch Ursula to become human. It has the voices of Jodie Benson, Christopher Daniel Barnes, Pat Carroll, Samuel E. Wright, Jason Martin, Kenneth Mars, Buddy Hackett, and Renee Auberjonois. It was released on November 15th, 1989 to critical acclaim, earning $211.3 million off a budget of $40 million. Roger Ebert called it a jolly and inventive animated fantasy, a movie that's so creative and so much fun it deserves comparison with the best Disney work of the past. And he called Ariel a fully realized female character who thinks and acts independently, even rebelliously, instead of hanging around passively while the fates decide her destiny. It was nominated for 3 Academy Awards, winning 2 of them for Best Original Score and Best Original Song for Under the Sea. The other nomination was for the Best Original Song for Kiss the Girl. And the film was so successful, it led to a direct-to-video sequel, a direct-to-video prequel, an animated series, a Broadway stage adaptation, a TV concert, and now a live-action film adaptation is currently being shot with Melissa McCarthy as Ursula. And that is the deal with The Little Mermaid.
Wow. So, Courtney, we asked you to pick a movie. Why The Little Mermaid?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I do have just a true love for The Little Mermaid. Like, going back to, I have a memory of seeing it in the theater. And I have a little sister who's a lot younger than me. And so she was, like, really little. And I was a little older. And I just love it. And I mean, watching it again, like, this weekend, I was like, okay, this is definitely like of its 1989 time in some ways.
Okay.
But like, I love it so much. Like, Ursula is one of the best Disney villains. Ariel I love Ariel. I think she's awesome. Like, I feel like there was sort of some feminist kind of unhappiness with Ariel at some point. Like, oh, she's just so obsessed with this guy. And I'm like, no, that's not what she's about. She's like,
they don't get it.
Bold and headstrong and brave. And she like saves her friend from a shark at the beginning. And she's just like, doesn't give a shit what her dad says. And, like, just like, It's like, I'm going to get this guy.
She's the original Riot Girl.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, she never is like in doubt. She's like, yes, give me the legs. I'm on it. I'm no problem. Like, she would have figured it. Like, she would have kissed him immediately if, you know, Ursula hadn't cheated. Like, she knows what she's doing. And I think it's funny. Like, it's got, and the music, oh my God, like the soundtrack. I have listened to the soundtrack just hundreds and hundreds of times. I love it so much. It, like, I was listening to it today earlier and it like makes me cry. Like, I started to get teary. Like, every time I'm like, this is so good. Like, Part of Your World. It's like
Part of Your World's great.
The template for then on, then every other Disney princess movie where they've got to have the song where they say like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
How far I'll go from Moana. Like, all those, you know, it's like, ugh. So I just love it. The end.
How many times have you seen it, do you think?
I mean, I don't know if I've actually seen it. I haven't seen it like hundreds of times or anything. I've probably seen it between 10 and 20 times.
Wow. Did you show it to your son? And did that feel like high stakes? Like, he better like this?
Yes. I feel like over? I don't know.
Oversold it?
Possibly oversold it. Yeah, I definitely could probably feel the energy that I'm like.
You're filming him watching it the entire time.
If I don't and like was, this, I'm going to get adopted.
He was pretty little. He was probably 3. And I think he liked it. But like, when I was going to watch it this weekend, I was like, hey, pal, I got to watch Little Mermaid. Like, do you want to watch it with me? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, dang. And it was kind of a stab in the heart.
What is he like, into? What's like his favorite movie right now?
He's into like, his favorite movies would probably be like the Lego Movie.
It's a good one.
Right.
The Incredibles.
It's a good one. He likes some action.
He likes some action. He likes, I mean, you know, I don't, he likes soup, kind of like people with powers, I think.
Weird. With the, a little boy?
I know. He's real white dude, straight white like dude style.
Is he? He's problematic.
Iron Giant. I don't
know. We're going to cancel your son by the end of this podcast. Well,
listen, he likes some other, he likes Frozen and, you know.
Sure, sure. Stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I'll see myself out.
Yeah. John, what do you think of The Little Mermaid? First time seeing it?
No, I had saw it. I saw it when it came out. Yeah, I think it's great. I think it totally holds up. I think it's completely delightful. The score is great. I wish the last 20 minutes it could use one more song. Like, we need like a Kill the Beast.
That's always these Disney musicals, I feel like. The songs stop in like the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. For the most part, yeah. It just, so I think it could use like one or two more songs, like maybe something for Eric. But the songs that are there are just all incredible. Like, there's all classics across the board, pretty much. There's not like a kind of mat in the whole bunch.
Les Poissons.
It's a fun, cute little number.
Love Les Poissons.
I mean, it's not up there
favorite.
With my I mean,
least
it's,
favorite.
That's fine, but it's still like not like a dud. You're not like, oh,
no.
It's not like, it does not outstay its welcome. It's like not 2 minutes and 10 seconds at most.
It does exactly what it has to do.
Right. Yeah, I think it's great. Again, like Ursula, I agree. Totally, one of the top 10 Disney villains of all time.
Top five.
Top five? I would go top five, sure.
I go top five.
Definitely.
I mean, who's better? Yeah.
No one I can think of. Yeah, I think it's great.
Bob
I think it
Iger,
totally holds
maybe
up.
The biggest Disney villain.
Fair.
Greed. I don't know what else to say. I think it's pretty great. It's classic. Well, how about you, Mark?
Rough podcast. Don't know any
real stuff.
We didn't get a VCR until late. And so by that point, I was like 15 and like we weren't watching Disney movies. So I missed like Little Mermaid and
Beauty and
all
the Beast.
The Disney movies before. No, I saw, then I started seeing like, I saw Beauty and the Beast in the theaters, then Aladdin in the theater. I just missed Little Mermaid before. So I probably didn't see it until like 20 years after it came out or so. It's been a long time since and I've probably then even have only seen it 2 or 3 times, but I know the music very well. And I know the ride at Disneyland ride because the Ursula animatronic is great.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you come to the part of the world, part of your world section, you don't hear the chorus. Like, you're stuck hearing a verse.
Right.
And like, I want to hear the chorus in the ride for that song. I don't want to hear a fucking verse.
You don't need to hear singing about thingamabobs.
No. I want to hear part of your world. Somewhere that's wrong. That's the part I want to hear.
I think you just sing it to yourself. It's pretty much the same. Indistinguishable. Based on what
I like those verses. I'm into those verses,
no,
man.
The verses are there to support the chorus.
Oh, come on.
Mark knows a whole lot about music, so
I just prefer the chorus so much more. I just like,
so wait, Mark, so
hear.
You are also a huge Little Shop of Horrors fan, and the scores written by the same people. Do you think, which do you like better, Part of Your World or Somewhere That's Green?
I think they both have that bittersweet thing, but I think Somewhere That's Green is kitschier just because of the product references. You know what right. I mean? So I probably don't know. They are. I probably go back and forth.
They're pretty identical. In fact, the writers used to jokingly refer to Somewhere That's Green as Somewhere That's Dry.
Right.
It was so close to Part of Your World.
I don't know which I like, but I mean, I don't. I couldn't tell you. Do you have a preference?
I think you're right in that Somewhere That's Green is like a funnier, like more like smarter song. But Jody Benson's vocals in Part of Your World are just so glorious. Like her voice is flawless. Like it's perfect.
I mean, Little Shop of Horrors also incredible. Like incredible soundtrack. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd probably get for just that one-to-one comparison, I'd probably go Part of Your World. But Little Shop of Horrors, I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think overall, I like the music in Little Shop of Horrors more than Little Mermaid. I would listen to the entire score more.
The whole
soundtrack, but I do think, like Under the Sea, what a great marketing tool for the sea.
I'm Big C really scored on that one.
Yeah. And then Kiss the Girl, incredible.
Yeah.
What else is there? There's no like opening like
Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Oh, duh. I was thinking that's like
okay.
Sorry. It's after July 4th. who was I saying duh to myself? I do think Poor Unfortunate Souls is kind of like of the Disney villain songs, it's almost like the Bohemian Rhapsody of Live and Let Die. Like it's three little songs in one, which John knows I love.
He loves it. Like, you love a three-act play in a song.
And the part where she's no gouda rotata, like all that stuff when she's casting the spell.
Yes.
It's like also legitimately creepy too. It's like, ooh.
It is, it's very dark.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, it's so good.
I'm so bad at remembering lyrics. I can remember a melody. I can't remember a lyric.
You can remember eight bars of a melody.
I can remember eight bars. Well, Courtney, as you may or may not know, but I suspect you do, we're looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? You might know, maybe not.
Oh, I know.
I know.
I'm a fan, baby.
There's no need to go further into it. So this is our current top five rankings of the gayest movies ever. Number five with an 89.03%. The Wizard of Oz, number four with an 89.70%. The Apple, number three with an 89.81%. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, number two with a 92.99%. The Bride of Frankenstein, and number one with a 94.83% Female Trouble.
So Courtney, if you had to guess right now, how well do you think Little Mermaid's going to do?
I mean, I think it's going to do well, but I don't know if it's got any chance. I mean, it's certainly no chance of cracking that top five. I mean,
pretty tough top five.
I mean, I'm just hoping to maybe squeeze into the top 20. I don't
top
know.
Top 20. It,
I don't
see
know.
That happening.
Because I feel like there's aspects of the movie that I'm like, yes, this is going to do well. But then there's parts where I'm like, it's, you know, it's going to depend on that wheel in some ways.
So much about the wheel.
The luck of the wheel. I don't know.
That's good. I like your game analysis. All right. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, Courtney, how would you score The Little Mermaid on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Starting with the tough one. Starting tough for Little Mermaid.
Well, there's Sir Grimsby.
I definitely
Prince Eric's assistant.
Right. Mm-hmm. His manservant.
Definitely. He commissions a statue of Eric.
Yeah.
Like, who is that really for?
Yeah. It's a little creepy. Yeah,
why does it have a full penis?
That's the VHS cover art.
That's right. That priest. I don't know. I mean, what do we think of Ursula? She's she's based on divines.
But
so
she's like horny
like,
for Prince for King Triton at one point.
That's true. She does seem kind of
But there's an early draft where they were related.
That's true.
Right.
There is.
But there's also a scene where she is actually horny for like, she's like stroking his body or oogling him.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. And she
there's
is
also
like,
all the guys on the ship.
Some of the guys on the ship.
What about Flotsam and Jetsam?
I thought they were related.
They could still be gay.
They could still be gay brothers.
This isn't gay couples. This is gay characters.
I see.
I mean, all those are people. I mean, you got to figure.
I mean, I see why gay men would flock to Ursula.
Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Right?
Like Flotsam and Jetsam.
Exactly. Yeah. Literally.
they are what they are named. Maybe, but no one is definitely like out and gay.
Nobody's out. It's really, yeah.
Although Sebastian is a fussy choir director.
That's true. I mean, he definitely.
Yeah, fair. There's fair.
There's nothing that goes against him being gay.
Right.
And Titus Burgess did play Sebastian in the Broadway musical.
Fun.
Okay,
did you ever see the Broadway musical, John?
I did not. I was not able to make it at the time. It didn't. It,
did you
from
try
what I heard,
to make it?
Kind of, no, I heard it was kind of. Oh. And overall, it was kind of like a.
Oh.
They were like Broadway on wheelies. Musical. Some of they were kind of hit and miss, but that one I heard was just kind of missable.
What's the good one? Lion King.
Lion King. Aladdin's successful. I saw it. I didn't think it, I wasn't too crazy about it. I saw Tarzan, which also wasn't good.
Mm. That one seems tough.
Yeah.
You can't skate those vines. Well, what do you want to give this for actual gay characters?
I mean, there's not much. There's not much. It's like somebody in a crowd of mer people, maybe Grimsby.
I feel like Grimsby is like the most coded, but he's even very soft. So
yeah. Oh, God.
Although I do think Sebastian probably is.
Okay. I like that. That's helpful. In the live action, it feels like maybe they'll push a character into that direction, right? Sure. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't trust Disney.
No. The live action, I think they're making Awkwafina's playing Flounder, so I think they're flipping the gender on that
Okay. That's something. Yeah. I don't know.
So they're ruining my childhood?
Yeah, pretty much. That fish isn't a girl.
God, yeah. I feel bad starting it off with a low score, but I don't know, 20?
You chose the movie.
I did. I dug my own grave on this one. Mm-hmm.
20.
I'm gonna go 35.
Ooh.
35. I'll go. I think 20 sounds right to me. Mm. Giving an average of 25, which is 40 points lower than The Wizard of Oz.
Shit. I'm really in trouble.
Yeah, I think it'll make up a lot of points
behind
here,
the eight ball. Yeah.
How are you going to rate it on drag queen inspiration? Okay. Could a drag queen watch this and come away with a whole book of ideas?
We're here back we in, go. Baby.
It's almost a perfect loop with Ursula. I wrote a perfect loop. Inspired by, and then also the inspiration for.
Right. Yes. I mean, I would say 100. I mean, come on. And Little Mermaid, there's just like mermaid stuff in general. I feel like you could be inspired by.
Fishtails. There was a whole
Fishtails.
A runway on RuPaul's Drag Race not too
there's
long ago.
There's that Carmen Miranda fish. At one point, I thought someone could be a Carmen Miranda fish. That's fun.
Yes.
Category is Carmen Miranda fish.
Carmen Miranda. M-E-R.
Like meerkat?
Like mermaid, mer.
Oh.
Anda. Oh, gotcha.
Carmen
Mermaid Anda.
Miranda. Got it.
Also, Ariel's like blue exploring the town dress. I thought, I've seen that. I would recognize that.
Yeah.
King Triton, even you could do
King Triton.
He's an
beard.
Iconic look.
Yeah,
Sebastian.
What, just a fishtail and no top.
No, the white, like a white Gandalf at the top, at the bottom for the party, and the
Gandalf
fish
at the
bottom.
Top, Chelsea in the middle, fish at the bottom.
Yeah, I think King Triton has an iconic look. You would know him when you see him. Perfectly adaptable.
Yeah, awesome. I don't think of drag queen though.
But we play with drag inspiration in general. It could also be a drag king inspiration.
Mm. Gotcha.
We play with that. We've done that before.
Mm-hmm. We have.
It's an iconic look.
That would be if I was going as a character, King Triton.
King Triton? Who would you be, John?
Who would I be? I'd want to be King Triton, but if I'm honest, I'd be a Sebastian or maybe a Flotsam or Jetsam.
Sure. Not a flounder.
One yellow eye. Right.
Mm. Sure. My previous guest, Steve Slog, and I did write a musical based on The Little Mermaid. It was a 10-minute musical. It's called Ursula. It was like the Wicked treatment, but for Ursula.
I mean,
and neither of us had seen Wicked, knew anything about it, but we knew.
That's fine.
That's all you
needed. It's only 10
minutes. Yeah, I wrote a song for her called Defying Buoyancy.
Ooh,
which I thought was fun.
That is fun. Ursula needs a Cruella type. I mean.
Thank you.
Worst story, wouldn't it? It'd be awesome.
But in ours, you find out she was much worse than you thought.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's even more.
Cool. Actually, was terrible. Yeah,
she ate a lot of babies and all that. It was fun. So, what do you want to give this for drag queen inspiration?
Listen, I'm giving it 100.
100.
Giving it 100.
I'm gonna go 95.
95. Why not the 100?
I just feel like it's for me. It's like all Ursula.
That's fair.
Sure.
a lot
but
of
Ursula is like Ursula. Doing a lot. Yeah, Ursula's gonna come up a lot in this episode.
Listen, Ursula's always doing a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she's got all those tentacles. She can.
I'm also going to give it a 95, giving it a 96.97, which is 40 points higher than The Sound of Music.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Our next category, gay icons. What would you rate this in gay icons?
Oh, God.
I would say Ursula herself.
Ursula
herself.
Divine, yes.
I mean, is Howard Ashman a gay icon?
Sure.
I think so. Theater terms. Yeah, definitely.
I saw that documentary.
And I think like he is the one who really launched the Disney Renaissance, because he was the one who came in and was like sat with the writers and the animators and was like, here's what, like, he brought Broadway sensibility to Disney movies in a way that they never had before. And I think the movies were the better for it.
Like, what if the songs were good?
What if they were good?
Or actually, like, they do something to the story. They don't just happen. It's not like in 101 Dalmatians, where it's like, Cruella de Vil is a great song, but it's someone who just like, I sits down at the piano and plays a song. You could cut it and no one would know.
Yeah, and after he died, it was like, I feel like they tanked for a little bit.
It was tough.
It was tough.
He had his three big hits, yeah.
Lion King did okay.
I don't care for the Lion King. Yeah.
I like it until Simba grows up. Once he grows up, I'm like, oh, now you're
obnoxious. Right, and he turns into Matthew Broderick.
No.
Now we have to listen to Hakuna Matata. Never mind.
Wait, what are we
also,
talking about?
Also, gay icons. I would say Edie McClurg.
Sure, she's great.
I love Edie McClurg.
Yeah, I do.
Jodie Benson. I feel like any voice of a Disney princess is gay icon adjacent. It's not 100, obviously, but it's something.
Sure. Something.
Those Disney gays love it.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And she was the original lead in the musical Crazy for You, which was a big hit back in the day.
People can't stop talking about that.
They love Gershwin and tap dancing.
They're crazy for it.
They are.
What is that? Just like a review, like, we're going to put on a show, or my uncle's drunk and giving us this house.
You know what? You are 80% correct.
Really?
Yes. Wow. It's like an old Judy Garland and what's his name?
Mickey Rooney
movie called Girl Crazy, which they make Crazy for You. It's a whole bunch of Gershwin tunes, and they put on a show and they save the farm or something. I don't know.
There you go.
I wasn't crazy about it, but it was a big
reviews are in. So what do you want to give this for gay icons?
I mean, I'll say 75.
75.
Too high.
No, don't worry about it. Great. I'm gonna go a little higher because I do think Ursula is
great.
Is
I like great. It.
I'm gonna go 86.
86. Is Ursula more of a gay icon than Meryl Streep?
I think so. I think there's more like about Ursula that the gays are like, yes, than Meryl Streep. Again, who I think is great. And Mark,
what about
always,
She-Devil?
Like, I hate. I've never seen She-Devil. But I think Meryl Streep is more like an acting icon than a gay specific icon.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'll give it 75. Give it a 78.67. What if I told you most of those points were for Edie McClurg? Could you even handle that?
I love it.
You're a righteous dude.
Thank you. I love her so much. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. She's incredible. She's in that movie.
Oh. You're not just bringing up Elvira out of nowhere.
I would say that.
Gay icon, Elvira. Moving on, next category.
Candy bars. All right, next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Well, we got King Triton.
I mean, King Triton, you see his nipples quite a lot.
We got nipples.
Beefy.
He's beefy.
He's got that classic Chelsea torso, like Chelsea Boy torso.
Sure.
Eric is very cute.
Of course, they make a point to show how strong he is on the boat.
Right.
He's very strong. And I feel like you kind of see him through Ariel's eyes
absolutely.
A couple of times.
I'd
she's
say
like,
so.
He's so beautiful. She's like stroking his hair on the beach and stuff.
Right.
And like when she first sees him and he's playing that flute or whatever, which I love that that's what he does for fun. Dances around with a little flute with his dog.
Did you think when you were little, did you think, oh, Prince Eric is like hot? Like he's cute?
Yeah, I still think he's pretty hot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's classically handsome.
No one's denying that the animated Prince Eric is.
He's no Aladdin, I'll say.
Oh,
that.
Aladdin is the
I give it to Aladdin.
That's your one? Okay.
Well, he's such a scamp. I mean, Prince
that's
Eric is a little devoid of like personality.
Right.
Other than he's just princely. Like, he's strong and he like, I don't know. He's strong. I don't know what else. He loves his dog. Yeah. I don't know that much about him. And kind.
We don't see how he is as a prince. Like, is he like nice to his subjects? Are they screaming for his head?
We don't know.
Seem to be.
He's with the commoner people on that boat, right? That's all like fishermen and. Right?
He's like willing to like not go, you know, be like, but I love someone as a poet. Like, I need the, because the manservant is like, no, this isn't proper. And he's like, no, I found my true love.
There you go.
There's something about him that is grounded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Grounded.
He's grounded.
Not like, where did you go to school? Who were her parents? Yeah.
And he's obviously had some sort of tragedy befall him because we're his parents. We don't know. Or do you think they're alive?
I think I would guess they're alive because he's prince and not the king.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because he has an older brother that we don't.
Thank you. Fair point. All right. Who knows? But he's quite handsome.
Well, maybe this was explored in some of the sequels.
Maybe.
But nobody has seen. Well, what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
Male gaze. I mean, it's not super
high. It's also tough because it's also still Disney. So they're not going to.
Yeah, they're not lingering on. But I mean, I think Ariel, we see a lot of her body. It's like she's
scenes
where she's bursting out of the water and it's like, oh,
subtle.
It feels, yeah.
Orgasmic.
It's like extremely orgasmic. So it's, you know, it's not that. So I can't give it a, I don't know, 50?
50.
I'll go 63.
I gotta up my scores.
No, I'm gonna go 40.
Oh,
God.
Whoa. Give really? It a.
It's name just one really... other Disney character who is as buff as King Triton. Maybe Gaston, but even
Mr. Incredible.
You don't see either. You don't see any of them with their shirts off.
Gaston, you see when he rips.
That's
open
true. We
his...
get a little bit. Yeah, every last one is covered in hair.
Yeah.
Uncle Scar.
Uncle Scar.
He's
a tired old lion. What do you?
I relate. Tired old lions have needs too.
Mm-hmm. You love to jerk off to tired old lions. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a tired old lion. All right, give an average of 51. Our next category: entrances with pizzazz. Well, there's an orgasmic flopping onto a rock.
Okay,
right.
I think there's a lot of pizzazzy entrances.
There's a ton
in this movie. It's like Ariel's entrance is sort of like plays with this. Like, oh, we're singing this song for her, and here's all her sisters, and she's gonna come out of this giant freaking like clamshell or whatever.
It pizzigs when you think it's gonna pizzazz.
That's
exactly.
But even right before that, when King Triton first enters, there's a huge fanfare.
Oh,
Sebastian gets his kazoo fanfare.
Oh yes.
Also,
I've never
even
been
the very
anything
beginning
where there's been fanfare. Have you ever been in an event where there's been fanfare in person?
That can't be true.
I've been to medieval time, maybe medieval time.
Oh, and there's no fanfare?
But not a non-theatrical situation.
Well, fanfares make everything a theatrical situation.
But I mean, it's all like there's an audience who's paid tickets to something. It's never like I'm at a party and then like, oh, ba-ba-ba-ba.
Excuse me, 12 hours ago, yet last night we were at a party where a stripper showed up. There was fanfare.
Oh.
That's true.
What a story.
Did he come out to music? I don't remember.
Because we had to wait because they couldn't figure out the sound system.
Couldn't figure out the music.
Yeah.
Well, this I want to hear more about.
It was all very chaste.
Oh,
yeah,
nobody got wild.
No.
All right. A chaste stripper.
No.
Okay.
But back to the movie.
Yes.
Even at the very top of the movie, like the ship coming out of the, out of the fog, the first time we see a merman, it's very like well linked up with the orchestra. There's a big sort of fanfare that happens. We're like, oh, they're fishing this. There's a
in the movie, The Little Mermaid.
Yeah. In case you didn't know what you bought a ticket for.
And like even Ursula, it's not like blah, it's a very,
she's like in the shadows.
Good entrance because she's in the shadows and you don't see her. And she's like, when I lived at the palace, and she's like eating alive shrimp or whatever, and like you see her whole body, and then she kind of comes out, and that's a pizzazzy entrance.
They never make a point to show what the mer people are eating.
I know. I figure they're eating like plants.
Kelp or something?
Kelp.
No, Triton is getting protein from somewhere. Also, when he comes in like on the turtle shell, I feel like that's like almost a threat to like the other animals. Like, I will murder you and use you as transportation. Like, don't fuck with me.
Oh, shit. Is he in a turtle shell?
Yeah, he's being pulled by an upside down turtle shell.
The turtle died very natural causes.
Yeah, I think that was just like a
still like, if you're still like rocking, if you showed up in like a skeleton chariot, I think, whoa, that's fucking intense. I wouldn't think like dude, even though. If they scaled the person died of human natural causes, I wouldn't think like, oh, that's I think, oh, this guy doesn't fuck around. I better
he
be
doesn't
cool.
though. He doesn't fuck around.
Playing with bones.
I mean, Sebastian is literally afraid that King Triton's gonna kill him at one point. I feel like he's intense dude.
The shark has a great entrance.
Oh my god, very scary. What a pizzazz. Mm-hmm. Bam, right through that boat.
Right through that boat. And then giant Ursula.
Oh my god.
True.
Yes.
Great entrance.
I'm gonna give this 100.
100.
I'm gonna go 87.
87's got some room to grow. A bigger mermaid, the bigger mermaid. Where's that sequel? That's the sequel.
The big mermaid.
The big mermaid. You know, she's middle-aged now. She's got kids.
She's been around, but she's still got some life in her.
Right.
More adventures to go.
I think it's pretty great. Especially, it's just, animation is built for entrances. I'll give it a 90. Give it a 92.33, which is 19 points higher than Conan the Barbarian.
Mm.
Pretty good. Yeah. All right, our next category, Hell on Heels. How is this for feisty women? A feisty woman in this
hell
movie.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's feisty with two of them. Two real feisty ones. Yeah.
You're saying Ursula and then Ursula. Her alter Ariel? Ego?
No, Ariel.
Ariel. She's going after what she wants.
I mean,
she
is, she's
but
nice.
Then she also has no effect in the climax of the movie, really. She doesn't kill Ursula.
She doesn't kill Ursula. I just feel like they got to give Eric one thing. I don't know.
The climactic final thing? Yeah. The one thing?
Yeah.
I think Ariel should have flipped up onto the boat and like tried to done the wheel. That would
have they should have turned the wheel together
as a
maybe
couple.
In the live action remake. Maybe.
That's a good bonding. That's yeah. you know that's I quality mean, time
when you turn the wheel together.
She does help kill Flotsam and Jetsam, or she like pulls Ursula's
that's true.
Oh yeah,
crown or whatever. And...
Flotsam and Jetsam are also voiced by a woman.
Oh,
so are they so female eels? Maybe.
Hell on heels. Hell on hell eels. Heels?
I mean, that shark might be a female. That's hell on heels.
That's true. It's unclear. Hell but for sure, hands. Ursula.
Ursula, for sure. And I mean, I think Ariel is feisty. I'm sorry. She's agreed. Very 100%. Sweet. But her dad like yells at her so much. She's about to cry. He's like, never go. And then like 20 minutes later, she's like, what's up here? Oh, a ship? Let me get on the ship and like get licked by a dog and hang onto the side of it and then save a human.
She's not as feisty as Jasmine.
That's true. Jasmine's pretty feisty.
Did you think I was stupid? I always remember that from Aladdin.
Yeah, she's feisty. I think they're all feisty, honestly.
Okay. So what do you want to give it for?
Okay, Hell
on Heels.
I'm giving it a 95.
95.
Yeah, I'll go 92. 96.
96, 1 point more. I'll go, I gotta go 87.
Fine.
All right. Give it a 92.67. Not too, that's a very good score, I would say.
Sure.
All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is The Little Mermaid?
I actually think it's kind of macabre in parts. Like Ursula's whole thing where she's got those shriveled people, mer people right. that are like, the and they like grab you and you come in. Come yeah, that's
kind of creepy.
That's macabre.
And lots of weird eyes are macabre.
Mm-hmm.
Skeletons in that shipwreck.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a little macabre that like Sebastian has to go on, into this castle where they're like eating fish, like that whole scene where he's like like sees
that's
all
like
these
his
fish
hostel.
Boiling.
Yeah,
I mean it's terrifying. Yeah, it'd be yeah. like going and there's just people being
it's like
boiled.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yes. Like oh fuck this, yeah. I walked into the wrong house.
I mean it really is, it's like horrifying just the idea that they kind of have to coexist with this, even right at the beginning when the fishermen are like fishing and then that one fish survives.
And then also at the end at Prince Eric's and Ariel's wedding, that same chef is there making seafood it's at a there. Mermaid wedding.
What is that about?
That seems inappropriate.
Insensitive. Yes.
It seems like
update
they
the menu.
Stop eating fish.
Yeah,
point.
We know them. That guy helped me move.
We know
but again,
them.
Maybe they died of natural causes. And...
Oh, I love an old fish to eat. I don't know if that's any better. Like your aunt right. died of natural causes. I eat her. No.
It's messed up. It's macabre, guys.
You're right.
Yeah. You can plant up. Her into one of those tree things, but that's about it. Have you seen those little pods that they grow a tree out of your body?
That's one of my ways I might want to go out.
That's not how you die. Wow. That's how you get bit.
That's how you might. Just put me in a pod.
Wow. I'm done.
When it's almost time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Courtney, come on. You don't need to get in the pod yet.
Yes, I meant buried. All right. Okay.
I do think Ursula is genuinely creepy. Like, she has like genuine menace. Like how they animate her, like that grin, that rictus grin almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is so fun. And then impaling a giant octopus lady with a ship.
Oh, that is pretty macabre. Yeah.
The lightning storm.
You see her skeleton for a second.
Yeah, it's cool. Like,
yeah.
And King Triton really hates humans.
Yeah, something happened.
Yeah,
I feel like
there's some damage there.
I mean, he's like says they're monsters, and they like he's like I don't want to see you on the end of a fish hook. Like obviously,
and he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I mean, at his daughter's wedding, they served.
Yeah, thanks.
His people.
Yeah.
I mean, we are monsters, and we eat
absolutely
all kinds of other animals. What's
the ocean? We managed to light the ocean on fire this week.
I mean, good for us. And they said it couldn't be done.
New developments in environmental devastation are happening every week, and just the innovation is amazing. So what do you want to give this for macabre?
I think it's pretty macabre. I'm gonna give it an 80.
80, one of the darkest movies you've ever seen.
Okay, too much. 75.
No. You don't have to change it.
It's not.
He uses that line every time on Macaw.
When it's a high score for the Little Mermaid.
It's Macaw. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is true, but it is still a children's movie. So okay, I'll go 67.
Okay. 67. I'll go 65. Give it an average of 70.67, tying it with Point Break. Equally Macaw, and they're both water criminals. I consider Ursula a criminal.
She is a criminal. She's a criminal.
She's not following the laws of the sea.
Yeah. No, she's not.
Those contracts would not hold up in court. I don't think.
Oh, God. Well, they held up the Tritons.
Sea court. I'll see you in court. all right, our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is it? It's pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
The animation is generally... whenever I think of a Little Mermaid, I always say, oh, it's not as well animated as like the later ones, like Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast. Like that animation's better, I feel like. But it's really good. Like the character animation, especially like the Ursula stuff, is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the last ones that I think used hand-drawn animation.
Yeah. It's the last one to be hand-colored. They still did hand-drawn, but they would they did the color digitally after this.
I see.
Like those cells don't exist anymore. Those cells are fake now. When you say like a cell for sale.
Oh,
Little Mermaid was the last one to have sale. Yeah.
Dang.
End of an era. 30 years ago.
Nothing's ever been the same.
Yeah.
There's a ton of dramatic lighting though. Like I think the lighting, like when they look up to the surface, the hurricane, all of Ursula's spells, when King Triton destroys Ariel's stuff when he gets mad at her, a lot of dramatic lighting going on.
Yeah. And when the fire, when the boat's on fire, and I don't know, you can see it glowing in her face and stuff. And there's fiery planks. Like,
they're in trouble.
All of Poor Unfortunate Souls is pretty dramatic. All the green light and stuff. They used to do a thing at the animation building in California Adventure. It's closed now, but there was a Ursula's Grotto where you could go and re-record dialogue. They take your voice.
Oh.
And you could re-record dialogue from like Disney scenes. And then me and my uncle, who was like 7 at the time, we did, I was Uncle Scar and he was Simba.
Your uncle did this?
Me, I was the uncle and my nephew did it.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
And I was Uncle Scar in our little scene. And it was like, you're so weird and you have no idea. It was fun.
But it's true.
That's what made it fun.
Yeah, subtext that he had no idea about. Now he's in his 20s and gets it. But that's closed now. Ursula's Grotto, can't do it.
Sad.
You see the Beast Library, find out what character you are. So, I think it's all pretty dramatic.
Yeah, there's a lot of dramatic lighting. All right, I'm going to say 75.
75? This time, I think you're too low.
85.
No, you can't change it.
Yes,
you can do 85.
I'll go 90. I think it's pretty dramatic with the lighting.
Yeah, I'm going to go 93.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Give an average of 89.33, which is about 76 points higher than The Princess Bride. All right. Our next category, vibrato.
So this one, in addition to literal vibrato, which is singing, we mean anytime they take a moment, zhuzh it up, give you a little extra, more than you need, but you like it.
I would say Buddy Hackett's performance is pretty vibrato.
Scuttle. I think Rene Auberjonois as the chef singing La Poisson.
Oh my gosh.
That whole number is pretty vibrato.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like just all the singing itself.
And all the literal singing. Yeah.
Is it part of your world? Doesn't that have vibrato?
Yeah.
At the end.
I mean, does all singing have vibrato? Do some people sing and like there's no vibrato? It's just
a straight,
solid,
tone.
Unwavering tone.
Some I don't of know it the does. Terminology. That tends to be more like computerized. Like I feel like Katy Perry is more just like a flat, like yelling almost. Wow. Like Jodie Benson does have like a very like like clear tone, but I think she effectively uses vibrato.
Wow. I can hear you roar, and I don't like it. Also, Flounder is fairly helpless as a sidekick. He's more of a liability, really, for most of the movie than anything.
He is, He's not, well, he kind of pulls her in that barrel at the end, I guess, but very slowly. Very slowly. But yeah, he kind of fucks up some stuff. He tells on her.
Like once Sebastian becomes her sidekick, Flounder is very unnecessary.
Pushed to the sidelines.
Sometimes that happens.
She needs someone to talk out loud to until Sebastian shows up.
Yeah, need to bounce things off of. But all of Ursula and Pat Carroll's performance.
Oh my God, yes.
The relish of every line in Poor Unfortunate Souls. Yes. That, I don't know how anyone could do another version. Like she's just... I feel like in animation, in some ways, it's easier to like just... Because every line is just pushed to the limit. It's like made a meal out of it. Like Jeremy Irons does the same thing in Be Prepared. Like he's not a great singer, but he just makes a meal out of that song.
Right.
It's so good.
So good. I'm nervous for Melissa McCarthy in the live action.
Aren't we always though? Stop making movies with your husband. They're terrible.
Please. Oh God, stop. Yes.
Nobody likes them.
Nobody likes them.
I'm glad you love your husband and you enjoy working together. That is wonderful. So maybe like redo a kitchen instead of making a movie. So what do you want to give this for vibrato?
I'm going to give it a 100.
Whoa!
For the singing and the other things. I'm like, there's a
the
lot.
The other things.
The other things. Yeah, I'll go 99.
I don't know. I first like Disney. It's like, to me, it's almost like straight down the middle, like kind of fairy tale. So it's not like as compared to like a Hercules or something, you know,
or even or like Aladdin, an Emperor's New Groove kind of thing.
Yeah, where they go like a little wilder with like the movie itself.
Sure.
Okay.
But there is vibrato in it, so I'll give it a 75.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. Well, we gotta. If someone brings an Emperor's New Groove, gotta have somewhere to go.
That's your example.
That has Eartha Kitt.
That's true.
Okay. That's fair.
Giving it a 91.33. That's still very good. Everything's fine, guy. All right. Our next category: footwork. How would you rate the footwork?
Well, I mean, she wants to get feet.
She gets legs. She wiggles her toes.
Those toes. She's got to work to figure out how to use her legs and feet.
You think Ariel's
ZZ Top, right?
Is Ariel on Wiki Feet? You think?
Probably.
People might freeze frame that thing with the toes.
I bet.
Yeah.
Those scenes with Buddy Hackett putting his ear up to a foot for Ariel to see if he's alive or not.
What a freak.
Weird.
They go dancing. I mean, she's just had legs for a day. Don't fetish shame him.
And they see those sailors dancing on the boat. She sees that. Ariel sees that. Right. Oh, this is an option. Yeah.
Yes. She's sick of having. What is the line where she's like ready to stand? You know, like
ready to walk, ready to stand somewhere in the sun. That's how I'll be. I don't think that's it.
Those are, you know what, Mark? To your credit, those are all words in the song. So yes,
that's right. I think there's a lot of footwork here. She's got to like learn how to work her feet, man. She didn't have feet. And then she just immediately is like running. She's dancing. It's like, that's a challenge.
It's
a challenge. So I'm going to give it a, I feel like I'm always going way too high. let's see, footwork. I'm going to give it an 85.
85.
Nice. I'll give it an 82.
82. I don't know. I gotta give it 70. I think there is footwork, but it's not like, I don't know.
It's a plot point. I mean,
right. It
is, but there's more footwork, and I'm thinking like Beauty and the Beast. You know what I mean? There's like more in that.
What?
The ball under the chandelier, that whole thing.
Sure.
That's a whole number.
It's a whole
Belle walking through that town.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's had those legs her whole dang life.
Yeah, she's had plenty of time to work them.
That's true. Hey, she got a 70 for footwork. Great.
Okay.
For mostly a flipper movie, that's not bad. All right, our next category, spank bank deposits.
Hi. This is going to be high, guys.
Well, inherently, merpeople are sexy.
Yeah, because they're all like...
Naked.
They engaged their
naked.
Core. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're I like how they cover their tops, but like their bottoms are completely exposed.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. Doesn't make
I like
sense.
That weird sort of like, almost like a belt or like a peplum
the ruffle
thing that they all
kinda,
had
yeah.
that right mm-hmm. when they transitioned to fins, as it were.
Sure.
Yeah, and it all has kind of that V, like it's not straight. They kind of have
no,
like the V
right.
where
sure.
you're kind of like,
mm-hmm. Treasure trail, as John yeah. likes to say.
Yes.
Right? It draws the eye.
Yeah.
Draws the eye.
Direct
yeah, King Triton's hot, Prince Eric's hot.
They're all hot.
But there's yeah. not a lot of like, ooh, I'm gonna remember that particular shot.
I mean, Ariel,
or moment.
I mean, I know this is sort of like what the woman part, but I mean, there's so much of Ariel Please. That's like cleavage and like we said before, sure. bursting out of the water in an orgasmic mm-hmm. way and like laying on the sand and her hair is everywhere and like it just feels like sexy.
Feel sexy,
sure.
I mean, I feel she's 16, so I'd feel a little weird talking about this, right. but
no, you know,
she's hot as hell.
Supposedly based on Alyssa Milano,
yes,
which is creepy. She's probably like 14 at the time.
It's very creepy. Those Disney animators are real right. creeps back then. They were probably all wanking it to Ariel, right?
Not like now.
No,
not like now. They're really
everyone's better now.
Better. Like,
oh,
we figured it out.
Repercussions. Let's stop.
So what do you want to give this for a spank bank deposits?
I think it's 100, guys. There's
100. Have you seen any non-Disney animated?
I just think Ariel's
a magic
a classic.
Mike?
I mean, yes, but I think for listen, the spank bank, it's not saying it has to be men or you know what I mean?
Correct.
So I'm including just Ariel and probably how there's tons of dudes that have spanked it to Ariel.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's your interpretation.
I mean, Ursula is kind of like sexy okay. also. She got them big, big boobies
now.
And the big butt and stuff. She's like,
all those tentacles.
Of course.
Come on.
We support. We stan.
She's wearing like skin tight. Like they don't shy away from her body.
Either. It's hard to be baggy underwater. It's a literal drag.
Yeah. Takes forever to move. I'll go. I think it is kind of, again, like it's a kid's movie, so it's low on sort of like sexuality. You know,
like Tarzan, on the other hand.
Mm. That's a little different. I'll go.
I went too high.
It's okay. I'll go 77.
Okay. So did John.
He went too high. 77's too
Triton?
High.
Come on, King Triton.
Triton.
But for Spank Bank to put like, for like, I'm just, when I think Spank Bank, I think of like, oh, that one moment, that one scene, not like, because we already have male gaze, which kind of covers that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm kind of thinking like, what's that one, like, oh, that one thing when he like bent over and picked something
that
up. You know what I mean? Like, that was hot. Yeah.
I think that
yeah.
entrance of Triton in that shell.
Mm-hmm. No, to me, that's more like a power move of like, I will fuck you up. Because I'm
yeah,
the king.
That's hot.
Like that.
That's hot. Yeah.
No, I don't want the threat of murder. Up. I don't find that attractive.
Right.
I would never
well, that,
make
that,
it.
That reflect in your score.
Each or
I will. That's
things.
Why I'm going to give it a 30 in
what?
Deposits. But hey, this is funny. It got an average of 69.
Ooh, hey. Hell yeah.
Worth it. So now, do you like my 30?
I still don't like it.
Oh, well, you'll get over
we're,
it.
We're making the most of it, but we don't
right.
like
okay.
it.
All right. Finally, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Little Mermaid to a gay person?
This is going to be also 100, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I okay, here's a question.
Go ahead.
A gay man.
Right.
Yes. 100. Noam. A gay woman? Maybe.
You don't think a gay woman would be like empowered by Ursula? Or all the
maybe.
Sisters, maybe?
I'm not possible.
Well, a gay woman could be empowered by Ariel.
There
wanting to be
Correct.
Free, trapped in the, your family's idea of you. Mm. Like the themes are very resonant. To yeah. gay and also like trans people of like being trapped
That's
in one
true.
Thing but wanting World. Something else.
Sure.
Yes. Yes. I mean
wanting to find your own voice, really.
Ariel is attracted to, you know, cross species. So we don't know. She might be swinging
yeah.
out there.
Wait till
there.
She sees a lady. She's gonna lose her mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean I have to say 100. I would say the songs, I'm like, if I would be like, haven't you seen this movie? You gotta watch it.
100.
Yeah, I'll go 90.
90. Is there, John, is there like a classic Disney or Disney Renaissance you would recommend more?
I mean, I might say that Beauty and the Beast is a slightly better movie than Little Mermaid, sure. But I also just think that like, it's not like the one or the other. To me, it's just like, do you like musicals? Like if someone's like, I prefer the films of like Lars von Trier, I'd be like, well, then maybe you don't need to see Little Mermaid. But like, it's a great movie and like, it's a great reference. And again, like the score is great. It's fun. It's under 90 minutes. You're in and out. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's like a tight 88 or something. It's so short. 87. Yeah. It's great.
You're thinning
That's with
out.
The credits.
Yeah.
I would recommend it to people. Would it be my most one? I don't know. It's pretty good though. I'll say 90. Why not? Giving it a 93.33. All right, now we're into the wheel category.
Oh god.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone, and we're gonna spin it 4 times. Whenever category randomly pops up, that's how we will rate the movie. And then at that point, you will come up with a category which we will add to the wheel.
Are you a Moana fan, Courtney?
I love Moana.
I love Moana too.
Moana's it's really so fun. Good. It might be my favorite of the all of Disney princesses.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love when she's on the boat and just like, I am Moana.
Oh, so good.
So funny. It's, I don't know why it makes me laugh, but it's just like.
Well, Courtney, I think the wheel might be in your favor because from Best in Show, anthropomorphism, is that right? No, that's right.
Anthropomorphism.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Okay, great. So this is
well,
like,
what is the anthropomorph? When are we making, I guess, that, the move the movie itself
all
as
the animals?
Sebastian, yeah.
Anytime, why does the dog not talk?
Maybe because he's
it's the land
species?
Animal.
I don't know.
I think land
I
animal.
Wondered that too, like all the fish talk but the dog
but doesn't. I had that thought but I'm like, who cares? You know, it was immediately
Max
followed
need
by
a song now too. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Do we really want to unpack the rules of anime of cartoons?
I guess I had an imagining that like the dog would, yeah, he could talk to other land animals. Probably. And Ariel, since she's from the sea, can talk to the sea creatures, and Eric can talk to no one because he's a human.
Just as we're cut off from our emotions.
Yeah, we are. Isolated.
I guess the movie itself is like anthropomorphic, like it's giving these animals human characteristics.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
100%.
100.
Yeah, I'll give it 100 as well.
Yeah, I think you have to. 100. Giving an average of 100. And I don't know if this movie, that category has come up since Best in Show. It has not.
I don't
not.
Think it has. Here we go. Lovers turned friends.
Lovers turned friends.
Oh God.
Well, did Ariel and Sebastian have a thing?
No, no, he's a teacher.
Triton and Ursula, but they are not friends.
Not friends.
Not friends.
Lovers turned
There's not a lot of couples in this movie.
No, just the one, really.
Oh, yeah, this is rough. There's
not a good lot of a diversity of relationships in this movie. You're either friends or lovers or enemies.
Hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is a.
I mean, unless we imagine that, like, Ariel and Flounder.
No.
Or Scuttle.
No.
I mean, I'm just asking questions.
We're just asking questions. Flotsam and Jetsam and Ursula. I don't know.
That doesn't feel like a friendly relationship.
No, it doesn't. Oh God, man, wheel got me on this one.
Yeah, the wheel gives and it takes.
It gives and it takes. I was so high, and now, I mean, there's like nothing. I don't even know. I don't think there's anything. Other than maybe in a crowd scene, you can imagine that someone is a lover turned friend.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't think there's,
maybe
yeah.
Edie McClurg and Edie manservant, maybe.
Mr. Grimsby, yeah. Sir
there
Grimsby.
There.
But maybe there's still
be
lovers.
In there.
Does there? Maybe there doesn't.
Well, aren't the like ladies who are washing the laundry gossiping at one point where they're like, if right. he wants a princess, I know one who's right here. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, there's probably some like intrigue and
right.
sexy stuff going on. In this castle. <Sure. laughs> And some of those people became friends.
Right.
It's a stretch. I don't know. I'm going to say 10.
10. You've come to your senses.
I'll give it a 6 for that.
6. Yeah, I'll give it a 3. Nothing. Giving it a 6.33. Yeah, I can't remember the last time anyone else did that category.
Come on, wheel.
Okay, here we go. From Death Becomes Her, Mirror Street, Mirror Motif.
Wait, what is this one?
Mirror motif. Any like things? Doesn't she look like a mirror in her part of the world, part of your world?
No, Ursula, when she's Vanessa.
Oh, yes.
And she looks at herself in the mirror and we see the reflection of Ursula.
But we have to remember, though, motif implies multiple uses. It can't be like, if it's to be a motif, it must be like almost like a visual theme through the movie.
Well, she's always like looking into some weird like scrying glass mirror kind of thing to see like what's going on with Ariel.
Into her, it's like a cauldron. Oh. Like, and how do you have a cauldron underwater?
She does somehow.
Magic.
Ursula does.
She's a witch. She's a witch.
She's a witch.
She's a witch.
See the witch. Yes. Oh,
there's use of a mirror, but I don't know if I could quite call it a motif.
I think that moment's pretty strong, though. I don't
know. That's what I mean. Like the fact that it's just a moment, it makes it for me. Like, I'm not saying it's zero, but I'm saying to be a motif, it has to be more than one use of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Real hard to score high in this category, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Something, let me, newsflash, some of these categories are a little specific.
Oh, God.
Also says we could barely remember mirror.
I mean, the mirror where Ursula is looking at the mirror, I find to be a very memorable moment.
Sure, so absolutely. No, like, one's denying that.
Evil, Jodie Benson's voice, great. But yeah, not a motif, but I'm going to give it 40. Just
40.
For, I don't know why.
I'll give it a 50 for that.
50. I'll give it a 17. Giving it a 35.67. I'm waiting for a motif.
Okay.
God loves a motif.
I do love a motif. Here we go. Teamwork from Hoosiers.
Teamwork.
Ooh.
Well, we got Ariel and her friends. How many
we got
sidekicks?
A lot of teamwork.
I mean, any Disney animated, once you introduce sidekicks.
Yeah.
Everyone's right. Got a sidekick.
There's that, but there's also like all the fish during Kiss the Girl when Sebastian's like this.
Yes.
You do this part, you do that part.
And at the end when they gotta stop that wedding.
Sabotaging the wedding, they're all on board.
That is some teamwork.
Even Max, who doesn't speak fish, but he somehow gets it.
He gets it.
He knows Vanessa.
He can read a room.
He can. Yeah. His nose knows.
There's a lot of teamwork because they got a
teamwork.
Teamwork
like
to help
and
her.
Are an evil team, but
they're an evil
the
team.
The sailors on the ship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They gotta team up, catch those fish. Yeah,
We're
thick with team. I'm gonna give it 100 on teamwork.
100. Wow.
Yeah, it's the most teamwork I've ever seen.
Apparently, you gotta watch an Ocean's 11, a heist movie. You're gonna love it.
This has just as much teamwork.
That's true. What are you giving it, John?
97.
I mean, there's a lot of teamwork on every angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll give it 100. Why not? Together? Who cares?
Yeah. Yes.
Giving it a 99 in teamwork. All right, Courtney, the time has come for you to add a category that we can put on the wheel.
Okay.
Also, judge the Little Mermaid right now and every subsequent.
I know. All right.
And I knew this was coming.
I knew it was coming and I thought about it.
Great.
Good.
All right. Because I was like, oh, I could just say mermaids or whatever. But I was like, I kind of want to, I respect the process of this podcast.
Thank
and I
you.
Am a
finally.
And the process. Thank you.
Yes,
at least someone on this show does.
And I am a fan. So I was like, could I go like broader? And all right, tell me what you think of this idea. Because I thought this could be a funny category, which is something like, would Mike Pence feel uncomfortable watching this movie alone?
Sure.
Something like that.
Okay.
Or how
so you're saying the more Mike Pence is uncomfortable,
Or the more he dislikes the movie. I don't know. I was trying to figure out.
I like uncomfortable. I think uncomfortable is fun.
Yeah.
I just liked picturing him watching Little Mermaid alone and he would feel uncomfortable.
I think like, what it was is if he was truly alone, he would love it, but he would be uncomfortable that someone would walk in.
Yes, he wouldn't be able to enjoy it. But maybe that's that taboo thing.
But wouldn't
the fear
he be
of getting
like,
caught is what turns him on, maybe.
Perhaps.
Wouldn't he be like, this is inappropriate? Because doesn't he have that thing where he's like, I can't be with a woman.
I can't be alone with a woman who's not my wife.
So he'd be like, I'm alone with this sexy
with this
mermaid.
Animated fish.
I know that's wrong for so much, like for, you know, advancement in the workplace and everything. But like, I don't want to be alone with Mike Pence either.
I mean, nobody wants to be alone.
No. Fucking weird Johnny Quest looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
I go blue now.
We're recording this in the afternoon.
I'm so sorry. Mike Pence anxiety scale.
Is that a good name for that?
I like that. All right. So what would you give The Little Mermaid on the Mike Pence anxiety scale?
I mean, it's not going to be 100 because I feel like it's got a kind of a cis romance. He's like, oh, okay. I like that there's a young woman. Yeah. There's white people.
Ursula's grotesque, though, definitely.
Yeah, he's uncomfortable with that. He's kind of uncomfortable with maybe the kissing and the bodies, but like it's
all the nudity, the toplessness of it all, right. The mermen.
Oh, right. King Triton's nipples would definitely.
Mermen are probably like demonic or something.
So anxiety scale, I'm going to give it a 70.
70.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 89, the year it came out.
Oh, I love it.
Is that the only justification?
I think all those things are things that he would be like, well, I don't care for that.
Oh. Yeah. I'll give it a 50. I think a rated G Disney movie might not push his buttons too much compared to other.
Sure, sure.
Most movies.
I could have just said mermaids, but I respect the
I think it's a great category. I like this more than mermaids. And also, let someone else bring in mermaids. All right, now we're on to the bonus category.
So these points, as per their category, are just bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against the overall score. These are just extra points. So we're scoring from 0 to 10.
All right, the first one on a scale of 0 to 10, how would you rate The Little Mermaid in musical potential?
10.
I've been thinking about this.
Okay.
Because it always almost like gives the whole scale a bias towards musicals. Like if it is a musical, I would almost want to say what's the equivalent of a non-musical to a musical? What's the equivalent of a musical to a horror movie?
Could you take the music out of it and have it
and still make it like a camp classic? You know what I mean? Like what's the equivalent? That way, like, maybe this is like a question for another time and not right this moment, but I do think it in some ways it is like an unfair bias in some ways. Like we can't do, so when it is a musical, it should be like, all right, well, how do you do, like, could this be like a storytelling show or something, but not that, you know what I mean?
I guess, for me, I understand what you're saying. And there's also a way in which like anything can be a musical, guys, which sort of makes it.
I make that case most times.
That's true. For me, in my mind, what I always think, whether I should or not, is like, could you put it on stage as a musical? You know what I mean? So it's like when we talk about Point Break, I'm like, sure, you could make a musical Point Break, but it's like, but so much what is great about Point Break is all the shots of like them surfing or the skydiving, which you can't really.
But then they did do that live stage show of it.
Yeah, but it wasn't a musical, and that was more played for.
Would that have been so hard to do? Throw in some ZZ Top songs.
I'm sure they could have. I don't know. I didn't see it. But you know what I mean. Like, so for me, it's sort of like, again, like, yes, you could do, but does it enhance it? Like, are you like, oh, adding music to this brings it up a level? Like, that's what
I agree.
Want it to do.
I agree for non-musicals, but when it is a musical.
But I think this one's hard, and I think when it was on Broadway, they did, but it was like, it did not do well, and it was sort of like joked.
Were they just on like office chairs? Like
no, they were like heelys. They had like little heelys, they were called, or like with those things, those shoes that they have
like their heels.
Yeah.
With their tails like dragging behind them?
I think in some cases, like some of the shots I've seen, I think you were almost like laying on yours, like their lower backs and like their spines must have had to, had some sort of like physical therapist working overtime backstage at that show, from what I saw from like the PR clips that I saw. So
anyways,
I think I would say that
we're open to pitches for what musicals could be for this category. I would say,
I think for this one, I think it's in its ideal form as it is. I would say The Little Mermaid.
Sure.
I don't think putting it on stage brings something new to it or like adds a dimension.
What do you want to give this for a musical potential?
Based on what I said, I will give it a 7.
A 7. Notes to those very successful musical.
Not a very successful musical.
No?
Stage musical. No.
I didn't see it. But I'll give it, you could, it wouldn't be good, but you could do it.
Sure. So
we don't say good musical potential.
That's true.
Fair.
I'll give it a 10. Although, should it be horror movie potential? Maybe. Maybe that's good.
I give it a 10 on horror movie potential. Sitcom potential.
Absolutely. Yeah. Losing Family your voice. Body horror.
Yeah. Right? All potentials.
Giving it a 9%. Not too shabby. All right. Our next category, queer menace.
I think Ursula.
Ursula.
Based on Divine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a menace.
She's a menace.
She's a real menace.
Gotta be honest. She's a menace. Are there any other queer menaces? That chef?
Possible chef. He's a menace. He's French, so you know what I am. Right.
Definitely Menace. He's very fussy. Yes, a fussy French chef.
But I think Ursula is doing,
yeah,
Ursula's, she's doing all the work here.
Yeah. I mean, she's huge. I mean, I don't know. I give it a 10 on Queer Menace.
A 10.
I'll give it a 10 as well.
A 10. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's Ursula. It's Ursula, for God's sake.
Ursula.
The Ursula of it all.
All right, our next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Pat Carroll.
Is Pat Carroll? I mean, she's making a big swing. Is she considered a character actress?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Okay.
She's no romantic lead.
That's true. I mean, this is a huge swing. This is a huge swing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. And Edie McClurg is making a minor swing.
I mean, she's right in her wheelhouse, I would say.
She's right. All right, fine.
She's some. I wouldn't say she's phoning it in, but she's not.
But Edie McClurg, can you do Edie McClurg?
We're okay, looking for an
Edie McClurg type.
I know this is not an actress.
How
but...
much? Oh, yes. You've just you've hit
my for point. Disney. This will be on TV forever. This will always be on the market. Mm-hmm. Great. Except for that vault.
Listen. But
that's all gone now that that's all streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Except for Song.
And now they get no residuals.
Yeah.
Right.
Now that it's streaming.
Yeah. Renee Auberjonois, or whatever. Yeah. He's not an actress, but he's making a big swing.
He is, yeah.
He's a character performer.
Definitely a character actor.
The category 100%. Is character actress.
I know, I'm just, you know, occasionally.
Yeah, but, get a couple. Know.
Listen, I'm giving it a 10 for Ursula and Pat Carroll. I'm giving it a 10.
I'll give it a 10 as well. Why not?
10. Why not? Because of the integrity of the score system. That's why not.
Exactly. He isn't making a big swing. What else do you call it?
I don't know if it's a big swing. It's very good.
She had to change her voice, I think. She had to like deepen
She's
her voice.
She's doing it a little bit like one of her, she said her vocal inspirations was Tallulah Bankhead.
Classic.
Classic.
I'll give it a 10. Sure. Why not? Give it a 10. Tying it with The Wizard of Oz. Witches are very go we do go. Very well in this category. And speaking of witches, that's our next category.
Mm.
Witches. I mean,
a sea witch.
I mean, she's a sea witch. I think she's top five witches in cinema, wouldn't you say?
A sea witch is A-list.
What?
Nobody. This sea witch is A-list. A-list. On the A-list.
Okay.
Okay. I got it.
Can you punch that up, Courtney?
I had to think about it. I don't... Well, I'll take it back to the shop and think about it.
Thank you. See, I make big swings all the time. Nobody gives a shit.
But they're in your wheelhouse.
This is totally, unfortunately. This is pretty witchy.
Yeah, I mean,
she's got a cauldron. She's got some spells. Everyone calls her a sea witch.
They weren't.
Everyone calls her. She has Faustian bargains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did Ariel know how to write her name?
Why would she not know how to write her name?
We've never seen her read or write anything before. She doesn't know what things are. What is she reading?
Oh, you needed a scene where she goes through all of school.
It just seems like this is the first time we've ever seen her write.
Yeah,
isn't she like
stuff? She's no Belle, looking at, but, you know.
I don't picture mer people reading books because they're like soggy.
How do you print? Squid ink doesn't do well for books.
I would think so. And then the paper?
No, she's looking at a book, isn't she? In that scene with all her stuff. Part of your world.
I don't think
there
so.
There's books
underwater.
There. Hey, man.
I don't take books to the tub for this very reason.
But if you lived in the tub, you would.
I would never read. You couldn't read.
You would if you lived in a tub.
Audible, maybe.
Yeah. You love books. Come on, Mark. You would do it.
So what do you want to give this for witches?
10.
A 10.
It's a 10.
Yeah, this is 10. All right, our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. The guy who plays so Sir Grimsby is not gay.
Nobody's, yeah, I mean, there's not really anything.
I guess Howard Ashman is playing the gay role of a lyricist. Is the lyricist a gay role? I feel like it kind of is, so.
Yeah.
Broadway lyricist, gay, but he's not an actor. He's actually that is what he does. So what do you want to give this for gay actors playing gay roles?
Oh, God. No, I'm going to give it a 1 for Howard Ashman.
Howard Ashman. Yeah, I'll give it a 1 for Howard Ashman as well.
I mean, I came up with it, and I don't even believe it, but I'll give it a 1, sure. Broadway lyricist. All right, our next category, themes of mothers. It's really, what happened to Ursula's mother?
We don't, or Ariel's mother?
Ariel's mother.
What happened to Ursula's mother, too?
There's like the parenting theme of like having to let your kids go.
Yeah,
not really,
And she's almost like an evil, she's the age of, could be of Ariel's mother, Ursula. I don't know.
Could be.
It's a stretch. She's like, my dear sweet child.
Yeah. She calls her child. So
calls her child.
Therefore, it's a 10. Yeah.
10. Yeah, there's no mothers. I mean, we assume the mom is dead, right? Ariel's mom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Disney movie.
Right.
Maybe she died on the fish hook.
So that would explain a lot.
Why Triton's like, he's so mad. He's hurt to his soul.
If you ever bring back Ursula the Wursula, you got to put this in.
That's true. I think in the musical, Ursula killed, Jackie Johnson played Ariel's mother, and Ursula shoots her.
Well, that makes
sense.
With a revolver.
Underwater revolver.
Underwater revolver.
Yeah. We took a lot of liberties.
And here you are being like, how could they have a book? I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was a bit of an irreverent take.
I saw it. It was very ribald.
Yes. So what do you want to give it for themes of mothers? You're a mother.
I'm a mother. I'm have a theme.
You're a theme.
You're a bitch. Myself. You're a lover. You're a fighter. You're a sinner. You're a saint.
There you go.
You will not be ashamed.
Nor should you be.
I'm going to give it a 3.
A 3.
I'm going to have to go 0, unfortunately.
Okay.
John.
Wow. Okay, it's bonus, so it doesn't hurt it.
But also doesn't help. I'm also going to give it a 0. All right, our next category, pearl clutching. No, there's a lot of oysters. I thought, oh, this has got to be, we're going to be drowning in pearls.
Listen, there is some pearl clutching right at the beginning when Ariel's not there and you hear that, like,
that's true, the gasp of the crowd.
And there are people wearing pearls.
Definitely.
In that,
and she is supposed to come out of an oyster shell. So, yeah.
She's supposed to come out. I bet there are some people literally were clutching their pearls. We just didn't see it.
I can't imagine like seeing, like going to a show and like a thing opens where a person's supposed to be revealed and they're not there and going, I think I would be like, that's weird. You know, like, I don't think I'd be like,
yeah,
oh
be looking
my
around, be like,
God.
Oh, I bet they're going to come from the back of the house. And that's part of the bit.
This
and, like,
is a classic misdirect, everybody. Relax.
Not this guy.
Yeah, you and I are show people, John.
That's true. We're savvy audience members. Yeah. It's hard to fool us, really.
We don't. Pearls. Inches
we leave
away.
Our pearls at home. Yes.
Yeah. But
also
Grimsby,
imagine at the wedding.
Oh, go ahead.
There was some pearl clutching going on there. If you were just a guest at the wedding and suddenly all this shenanigans are going amiss.
The bride is turning into a sea monster.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
It's a great wedding, honestly.
Can we return our gifts?
What about Sir Grimsby when he gets a fish thrown in his face? He's pretty
what? Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of clutching pearls the whole time.
And what about when Sebastian sees all the seafood prepared?
That's true. I mean, if a crab wore pearls,
he would be
Sebastian
clutching them.
Would. Yeah, so what do you want to give it?
There's some good pearl clutching in here. I'm going to give it a 7.
7.
I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
3. Okay. Wow.
All right. Thought we were friends. That's interesting.
I'm going to give it a 6. I think there's quite a bunch. Giving it a 5.33. Even when Sir Triton finds out she's in love with a human, he's scandalized.
I mean, that's true. Just rage. But yes, a little bit of
that's
right.
Parental rage daddy pearls. Rage.
Mm-hmm. Daddy rage. Good old daddy rage.
Daddy rage is toxic. All right, our next category, quips. How quippy is Little Mermaid?
Ursula's got some quips.
She's got a couple.
She's got a few
Life's
quips.
Full of tough choices in there.
There you go. And I always love that line where she's like, a little tramp, she's better than I thought. Like after she has to jump over the boat.
There's a lot of lines where it's like, you give them an inch, they swim all over you, where they just like find and replace, like ocean reference.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is a quip, but I also like when Ariel first comes into Ursula's cave and she's like, you shouldn't linger in doorways. Some might question your upbringing. Like, it's like a little dig on Triton.
Is it the funniest Disney animated movie? I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Aladdin's pretty hard to top.
It's got some good jokes, though. I laugh. I don't know. Buddy, the Buddy Hackett seagull still gets me a couple of lines. When he's trying to tell about seeing
how
Vanessa
things work
in the mirror.
Oh, that, yeah.
Or he's like, she was watching the witch and she can't get it out. He's like too freaked out.
Yeah.
She's singing with a
thing
stolen,
with the thing. Yeah.
She's singing with a stolen set of pipes. But I always like that line.
We're gonna give it for quips.
All right. I'll give it a 5.
A 5?
Too high.
No. I'll give it a 2. I don't think it's all that
quips. Right. Yeah, I think I'm also gonna give it a 2.
Fine.
Give it an average of 3, tying it with Eat, Pray, Love.
Sounds about right.
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
Equally funny. All right, now we are into the iconic category.
So these are sort of the bigger categories. So we're back from 0 to 100.
Great.
All right, so the first one. How would you rate The Little Mermaid in homoeroticism?
Ooh.
This one's tough.
Low.
I didn't write down anything.
I didn't either. Maybe just sort of like the lingering love of, what's his name, Grimsby.
I mean, is there anything with Ursula and Ariel? Is there any like close talking moments?
She doesn't do any like
his girls.
For all, she's much more like with Triton, like using her wrapping her tentacles. Mm-hmm. She's very chaste.
Oh, God. Yeah, there's not a lot of, it's not much. None?
I don't think maybe just the sailors on a boat is kind of inherently homoerotic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about it. Don't they dance with each other, or are they just like, are there guys like slow dancing or holding each other dancing, or are they just kind of like standing around
clapping their
hands,
kind of dancing a jig together?
They're jigging,
getting jiggy with it, some would say.
I'll give it a 10.
A 10.
I'll give it a 9.
A 9. I'll give it 10 for the sailors. Give it a 9.67, which is 5 points lower than Best in Show. Tough.
Fair.
All right, next one. Over the top wardrobe.
The mermaids, some of the sisters have like fun headpieces.
That's true. They've all got kind of wild.
Well, don't you think like wearing a top made out of actual seashells is over the top?
Yeah.
Is that definitely over the top?
And they're the little seahorse and the dramatic collar. I don't know what you call those. Like,
oh yeah,
the ruffle collar thing. Yeah,
yes,
the little dramatic collar going in there.
I mean,
that
it's
little seahorse under the water.
No. Is Ursula's out? Is that an outfit that she's wearing? Like, what is? Is that her body? What is skin?
Yeah, I don't know. Is she wearing clothes? Is she completely nude this whole time?
I mean, if we think of her, because she doesn't seem, she's not a mermaid, because she has all those tentacles. Because I was gonna say
her styling is definitely
then she would
over
have
the top.
Like a, it would be like she's wearing a corset over her bottom kind of thing.
But I think like her makeup, her hair, like the lipstick and like the necklace, all that is definitely like it's divine, which is inherently over the top.
Yes, yes.
And then Ariel, when she is in that fancy gown, it's an amalgamation of all different other Disney princess gowns,
and it's also wearing the sail at one point.
I was about to say, and she's wearing that. Sail.
What was the movie where someone wore curtains? Not going with, there was another one we watched.
Oh,
Sound of Music?
Sound of Music. That was it. A lot of curtain movies.
Curtain clothes.
We need to complete the trilogy.
But like when they first style it and Scuttle's like, oh, this is what it is, and it looks crazy. That's
I think it's fun. What a great opportunity for a reveal in a drag show.
Right.
So what do you want to give this for over the top wardrobe?
I mean, there's a little. 50?
50.
Yeah, I'll go 50 as well.
I think I will also go 50. Give an average of 50.
Huh.
All right, finally, camp factor. How campy is The Little Mermaid?
There's some camp. There's some campiness.
Yeah, I mean, Under the Sea is pretty campy. Ursula, again, I mean, we keep going back to this well, but, you know, based on Divine.
Yeah. I mean, the chef, I feel like the French chef is pretty campy.
Yes.
All that stuff.
A fussy crab as a vocal director, that's pretty campy.
John, the very first thing I wrote was a fussy crab on my camp list.
She's like combing her hair with a fork. That's pretty campy, right?
Idiot.
She's a fucking idiot. She can't read.
That is not going to untangle anything.
Also, she doesn't know what walking is, but like she's friends with a crab.
Listen,
how does he get around? Lucy says, what do they walk? What do they run? Like somewhere. She has something about legs. Like, what do they call it? Burn. There's another line
feet.
Like that. What do they call it? Feet. She's never heard feet before.
Crabs don't have feet.
Crabs don't have feet.
There's like millipedes and things around there. There's things that there's nothing down there that has feet. She's never seen a turtle.
That doesn't have feet.
Something under the water must have feet. I just can't believe she's never heard of feet.
She knew it, but it just like wasn't at the tip of her tongue.
Right. What's the word?
She's improvising a song. Yeah. Sometimes she doesn't have it right there.
Well, I got a quick list of campy things now that I mention it. Here we go. Making your children sing a song in your honor. Asking a seagull for insight. Ursula's flopping around her apartment like she's in a Tennessee Williams play. A crab with responsibilities. A side character having comic business during emotional song. Anytime someone yells, secure the rigging. There's always a dog named Max in these things. Using your friends' bodies as musical instruments. A character not sticking around for a song's big finish. King Triton doing a very bombastic Marie Kondo to Ariel's hoard. Ursula's entire performance of Poor Unfortunate Souls. Wondering when did Ariel learn how to write her name? I said that earlier. Should have deleted it. A bride falling into her wedding cake. Whenever a dog bites someone's butt. Wedding cake toppers. No one gave the note to the chef to lay off the seafood for Ariel's wedding. I should edit that out too. Triton making a rainbow. And finally, a movie that inspires shitty direct-to-video sequels.
Mm. Okay.
That's Fairly a lot cute. Of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's kind of always a lot of stuff.
I know.
You've All got right. a real nose for camp.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 60.
60.
I think for Ursula, I'm going to go 90.
What?
90.
Yes.
I mean, that's like a camp performance. You know what it I mean? Is a like, that's up there.
I'm going to change mine to 75.
Wow. I'll go 88.
Oh, my God.
Give an average of 84.33. All right, finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these are categories we don't score, we just agree it either gets it or it doesn't.
All right, so the first, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I don't think it gets it.
It's
I
mean, very light. Really
yeah.
I mean, like the one person you could say Howard most likely Ashman. Is gay is Ursula and she's the villain.
But right. what a delightful villain.
A delicious and delightful
But are
villain.
We rooting for her? We know no. we can't. No,
we're enjoying we like her,
see,
but
we like to see her struggle.
Her. Yeah,
she's at her best when she's not thriving.
Right.
We like a scrappy Ursula. Mm-hmm. So sounds like it doesn't get it.
I say no.
Yeah, no.
I would have done it, but oh well. Finally, I think you could make a case for Howard Ashman, but that might be a little.
I don't think the movie portrays Howard Ashman necessarily.
Right. But we've sent like Jean-Paul Gaultier and Fifth Element, you know.
Oh, that helped too.
Sure.
Can we give it like a 2%?
Nope, it's all or nothing.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
There are boats and we go on a journey.
Ooh.
But it is not the movie Boat Trip.
No, so
it's not the movie, so it cannot get
lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done.
So Courtney, now that we've been through it all, yes. we know how the wheel has felt. Do you still think and hope it will crack the top 20?
I feel like it did worse than I thought.
Really?
Oh, no.
Classic cynic.
I may have had high. I think maybe my expectations were. Quite high.
I think it's possible that it cracked the top 20.
You
I will
think?
Say.
I don't know. It I didn't. Know. It didn't. Wasn't super lucky on the wheel.
But a lot of the bonuses, we got tens a lot.
Okay, that's true. Got the bonuses.
Yeah, hey guys, yeah. I can just tell you how it did.
Oh, all right then, Mark.
We can talk about it another 15 minutes.
End this?
Yeah. So, out of a total possible 2,682.61 points, The Little Mermaid has scored 2,066.28 points. Giving it a percentage of 77.2, making it the 15th gayest movie ever.
What?
Not as gay as The Fifth Element, but gayer than Terms of Endearment.
Yeah, okay. That sounds right.
That sounds about right.
That sounds right.
That sounds wow. right.
Okay.
Wow.
We did it.
We
right.
did it. Makes sense.
So you cracked the top 20.
Congratulations.
I'm so excited. I am.
You're
I know. I,
cynic.
This is my style. negative headspace. Is that again? Like, I'm going to fail.
Courtney, thank you so much.
Yes. Congratulations.
I hope it lived up to all your. You certainly lived up to ours.
Yes.
Such a delight.
This was the best. I'm so happy. Thank you for having me 1 year and a half after I asked Mark to be on this podcast.
All my fault. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Well, I'm actually doing a podcast with my brother.
Fun.
Called What's My Motivation? And every week we try out different ways to get motivated and see how we did.
That's fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we just watched Pumping Iron to see if it would motivate us to go to the gym.
Did it?
I went to the gym one time.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, spoilers.
Had you gone to the gym the week before?
No, I hadn't gone to the gym for a year, about a year and a half pre-COVID.
So it did something.
It did something.
Yeah.
Did something. Now we're
Do you feel the need, though, like, oh, I have to do it because the podcast?
Well, not really.
Okay, good.
Both of us are kind of bad at doing the stuff. We often fail.
Got it.
But right now we're reading Tina Turner's book about being a Buddhist. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Is that a new one?
Not I, Tina. This is a new book that came out last year.
Wow.
And it's like Becoming Happiness. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like.
Step one, marry a millionaire. Be rich.
Be
it
rich.
Helps with your self-esteem.
Live
and
in a
self-care.
Swiss chalet. Yes. Yeah.
Be Tina iconic and have people constantly tell you how much you mean to them.
Yeah. Reap thousands and millions in royalties every year.
Listen, Tina has been through some stuff and we all
She's
know
earned
that.
It.
I love it. I love that documentary. Tina, everyone should see it. Tina,
so good.
HBO Max.
So good.
So good.
So yeah, I might become a Buddhist. I don't know. We'll see.
Or at least for a day.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Courtney.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys. This is the best.
Great.
Such a treat.
And we'll be right back.
We're back.
Fun.
So much fun.
Our first Disney animated.
I believe that's correct. Is that our first Disney at all? Have we done a live action Disney?
We did Midnight Madness.
Isn't that
a Disney movie?
Maybe up there with the Million Dollar Duck.
They own Sound of Music now.
Okay, but that's not like a Disney movie just because you own it.
Don't tell them that.
Okay. I mean, yeah, they're getting the money from it.
Yeah. I love Disney. I don't know. I listen to the music more than I watch the movies. And I like the rides more than the movies. I like the land more than the movies. Like when I go there, I don't want to buy anything with like characters on it. But if it's like ride themed or something or Disneyland themed, like I like that. But
I don't understand what the difference is.
Like, I don't need, like, a Donald Duck. Well, I would take a Donald Duck shirt, actually, now that I mention it. But, like, and I'm more into Disneyland and, like, the theme park than I am, like, to the source material, I would say.
But I feel like Donald Duck, like, yes, he's in movies and more in short.
Yes,
show.
He's a
like
star. He's no one's going to deny that.
I'm not saying he's not a huge star.
I guess I didn't grow up with, like, Disney movies. You know what I mean? Like, a rare, like, one in, like, Bambi in the theater. But then I don't think I saw one until I was, like, a teenager. Really.
Gotcha.
So I just didn't grow up with them. So it's like when you watch them as like older, you're like, okay, I appreciate them, but like they don't really
but
I don't
think
have
the time
emotional
that we were
attachment
up, the Disney
to them.
Movies weren't great. Like I think if we were young kids when this whole like Renaissance
like ours were
started,
like Oliver and Company and like well that wasn't
right,
very
the Rescuers,
good.
Which was like okay, you know, had weird moments about or like I remember going to see the Black Cauldron in theaters and being like, I don't know what is happening.
But you were like that with a lot of movies as a child, probably.
Probably, yeah.
We're sitting in the dark. The family's not allowed to sing. Classic Sig and Flynn.
What do we pay money for?
They should be paying us. La, 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 la.
Everyone else in this place must be very disappointed that we're not singing right now.
Yeah. Can you believe this, mother? Speaking of chiming in.
Yes, we've got an email from Patrick. Patrick writes, hello. And Patrick says, I love the podcast. As many others have pointed out, you two are hilarious and have great chemistry. Plus, the premise and Byzantine scoring system are wonderful. Thank you, Patrick. He says, but I wanted to add that you're also both great hosts. Your warmth with your guests and ability to make them feel at ease was on full display in Mom Month and on the 100th episode. They were all great. So I say, bring on more friends, family, and listener episodes.
Well,
thank you, Patrick.
Biased, vested interest in this,
well,
Patrick.
That comes up again. A couple other things, Patrick writes. When you rate movies in macabre, you often say it's pretty macabre, which has started to sound to me like you're introducing a drag queen. It's
pretty macabre.
Macabre.
Funny.
I like that. That's a good one. That sounds like a drag name you would have.
Sure.
Patrick also says, I like when the perfect movie for a specific category pops in my head, like when I thought about you scoring A League of Their Own and character actors takes a big swing.
Sure, funny.
Yeah, they're literally
very, Patrick,
so many
you
ways.
Get it.
Very on the nose. Patrick gets it. And then Patrick finally says, I submitted, but I'm a cheerleader in the essay contest, but forgot to include the wheel category I had in mind, send up of heteronormativity. How much does this movie mock the straight life? Auntie Mame and Edward Scissorhands would have done well, plus any John Waters movie. I hope this
Female
category
trouble.
Gets on the wheel one way or another. And then he signs off, goodbye. Well, thank you, first of all, for that email, Patrick. But also, we do have bucking heteronormativity is one of the wheel categories.
Yeah, Patrick, because you're not as hardcore a listener as you like to claim.
But no, obviously, Patrick is, he's right. He's on he's on the vibe of
he's
the
right,
podcast.
He's right. He gets it.
Swim, pretty yeah. macabre.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Patrick. What a delightful email.
Yes, it was a lovely, thoughtful, wonderful email. We appreciate that. We love to hear from all of you guys. If you want to, you can email us at 20queens, T-W-O, T-W-O, oldqueens at gmail.com. Let us know what you think, if we get anything wrong. What do you think we should do in the case of it being a musical? Should the could it become a musical category, become something else? We'd love to hear altered. Your thoughts.
Yeah, yes.
Pitch us something like that.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @2oldqueens, T-W-O, old queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, we also have merch. If you go to TeePublic, you can search for 2oldqueens queens, and there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and for your friends. And a percentage of all the profits go to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying stuff, you're helping people out. And finally, another way you can support the podcast is we have a Patreon. It's called 2oldqueens Queens, The Retirement Plan. Go over to Patreon. And for just $5 a month, you get a whole extra episode every week. Or you could just do $1 a month and just help support the podcast. We appreciate it and helps keep it going. And that is about it.
That is about it. We don't know what we're doing next week, but we're doing something.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. But that's it for this time. We'll see you next time. Stay safe. Get the shot if you haven't already. Sorry stay to cool. get political. stay cool. Go see a movie. Or wear a mask if you see a movie. So I don't know what the rules are anymore.
Who knows?
I never did. All right. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. Now
it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen,
artwork by Conrad Shin,
and special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.